Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise."
사랑하는 성도 여러분, 또한 Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 3,600 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. This is the 15th session of Message of Cross, and I will talk to you about the last seven words on the cross. The last seven words on the cross are the words of Jesus that he said on the cross until his death. Getting close to one's death, people look back on their lives and speak the will, which is like the conclusion of their life. Jesus also left seven words at the point of fulfilling the providence of salvation, as if he made a will. Just as each of Jesus' sufferings contained God's providence in it, the last seven words on the cross also contains very important spiritual meanings. I hope you will more deeply realize the love of the Father and the Lord who died for us. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will live in the truth according to the will of the Lord who bought us with his blood. Dear viewing audiences, the first word of the seven last words is found in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 34. It says, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves." Jesus suffered the great punishment of the cross because of our sins. On behalf of the mankind who are sinners, Jesus took all the sufferings. But those crowds who did not know this fact mocked and ridiculed Jesus as if he were an atrocious criminal. The Roman soldiers too took Jesus in a rough manner as if they were treating a criminal and crucified him cruelly. But Jesus never cursed them or had grudge against them, but rather, he prayed for them, saying, "Father, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They did not even know why Jesus was crucified, shedding his blood, and that their acts were evil. But we believers know the truth. You know what sin is, what righteousness is, and that there is judgment. You know that something is evil and sin, but something else is righteousness and goodness. So when Jesus said, "For they do not know what they are doing," does not apply to us believers. Viewing audiences, this prayer of Jesus was not only for those who were crucifying and mocking him. It was a prayer for all mankind who are dwelling in darkness, and for those who despise and persecute the name of the Lord even today. Because of this prayer of Jesus, you and I, who did not know the Lord, are forgiven. Jesus, who forgave you and me and prayed for us with love, wants us believers to forgive everybody. Even if we are persecuted for no reason or face loss, He wants us not to react with evil or have ill feelings, but treat others with goodness. John chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Everyone who does evil hates the light. Some of you preach and bring your friends or husband to the church. But some of them leave the church after a period of time. Why? It is because they have the qualms of a guilty conscience when they listen to the Word of God. They hear, "Cast off evil, this and that," so they cannot bear it anymore. So rather than feeling qualms of guilt in their heart, they want to have comfortable lives and leave the church. Also, your husbands register in the church through so much of your effort, but some of them leave the church. When they leave, they do not just leave, but says there is some kind of problem here. Actually, they are not even problems. But they think those things are problems in their thoughts and leave the church. That is why they say to their wives, "Because of this, I cannot attend church," or "I want to attend another church." Or because his wife lives in the light, but he doesn't. So he hates the light and persecutes his wife. Then if we look at the deeds of those who persecute their wives, how many untruthful things do they commit living in darkness? For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. As said, those who live in the darkness of this world dislike who are living in the light. They do not like it that their evil is exposed by the light and that they have qualms because of that. That is why when you try to keep the whole Sabbath or try not to compromise with unrighteousness, there are some people who persecute you. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 also says, "And you will be hated by all on account of my name, namely on account of the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." The Lord was telling them that His disciples would be hated by the world due to the name of the Lord. Because the enemy devil and Satan hate the gospel being preached and people being saved, they instigate evil people to persecute the preachers, to make believers lose their faith and get discouraged. The devil gives hard time through the worldly people. Do you have the same experience? Then how did you treat those who persecuted you? The worldly people react with evil to those who act evil toward them. But God wants us to forgive and love everybody. Jesus loved all the sinners and loved even those who were crucifying Him and gave His life for them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 45 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We will be recognized as God's children when we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, just as Jesus, the Son of God, loved even the enemies and gave His life. We will be recognized not as a servant of the enemy devil and Satan who create hatred and quarrels, but as God's children. But haven't you hated your neighbors or brothers, although they are not even enemies? Haven't you thought, I don't want to interact with him or her? Haven't you ever had evil thoughts like, I hope something bad happens to that person who is giving me a hard time? If you had a thought of this kind, please repent of it right now and turn back. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Yes, we forgave those who sinned against us. But if we do not forgive those who sin against us, we cannot ask God for the forgiveness of our sins. How can we say, Father God, please forgive my sins and love me, while we do not forgive our brothers or love them? We should be able to love and forgive our brothers and even our enemies, taking after the example of Jesus, who loved even the sinners who crucified him and mocked him. We should pray that, Father, please forgive them. Let them also change by the love of the Lord and receive blessings and salvation. Brothers and sisters, the second word of the last seven words is found in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 to 43, which says, And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. When Jesus was hung on the cross, there were two criminals being crucified on either side of Jesus. One of the criminals said, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He was mocking Jesus, saying if he were the real Savior, he could save himself and the criminals. Here, the other criminal rebuked this criminal. Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He confessed that they deserved the punishment they were receiving, but Jesus was sinless. Then he asked Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus saw his faith and said, Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This criminal received the promise of salvation since he accepted Jesus as his Savior, though it was just before his death. Viewing audiences, in this word of Jesus, there are many spiritual meanings. First, he tells us about paradise. There are many records in the Bible about the kingdom of heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the heaven he had seen. It says, I know a man in Christ, namely a person who believes in the Lord Jesus, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, actually his spirit only went and his body remained. God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. So if there is third heaven, there must be second heaven and also first heaven. There can be fourth heaven too. You know how many heavens there are through the book Heaven. The following verse 4 says, He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. He was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. If the Apostle Paul had spoken about what he had seen and heard in paradise as it was, he would have been considered the greatest of religious conspirators. He wouldn't have been able to preach the gospel at all. That's why, even after seeing such beautiful things of heaven, he could not tell everything, and he expressed his resentment about it. Also including Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, there are many places in the Bible that say the heaven of heavens or highest heavens, and we can infer that there are many heavens. The Apostle Paul saw paradise and heard about heaven, but he could not tell about it to other people. But why did I have to publish books Heaven and Hell? It's because now is the end of time. Now there are about 6.5 billion people on this earth. They do not know about Jesus or about heaven and hell. Many are going to the way of death, that is, to hell. Because it's the end time now, God revealed to me about heaven and hell and had it to be published into books. Actually, I was worried before I published these books. How much will people talk about this? How much persecution would I have to face? How much will those who have no desire for heaven and don't want to believe at all talk about and criticize the books? Also, how much will believers criticize them since they do not clearly know about heaven? But thankfully, this book, Heaven, has been translated into many languages and distributed worldwide. Many people have read it, received salvation, and thanked us. So I am thankful too. Because the Lord's second coming is very near, God has enabled us to distribute these books about heaven and hell to every part of the world. There is not only the sky that is visible to our physical eyes, but there are heavens in the spiritual realm as well. The third heaven that the Apostle Paul had seen is the space where there is the kingdom of heaven, and specifically, he mentioned the place called paradise. Revelation chapter 21, verse 10 to 11 says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." The Bible explains that New Jerusalem is especially holy and glorious city among different places in the kingdom of heaven. Looking at these things, we can see that the dwelling places are divided even in the kingdom of heaven. Some say paradise and New Jerusalem all refer to the same kingdom of heaven, but it is not true. Some say if we are believers, we'll go to the same heaven, and how can heaven be divided? But they say it because they do not know the Bible. In the kingdom of heaven, there are different levels in the dwelling places. Among them are paradise and also New Jerusalem. It is much the same for some Korean residents. There are some who live in Seoul, where the president is, and some others who live in Gyeonggi-do near Seoul. Still others live in more distant rural areas. Also, there are people living on the islands like Jeju Island. The dwelling places in the kingdom of heaven are also similarly divided. New Jerusalem, described in the book of Revelation, is a dwelling place of the highest level in the kingdom of heaven. Those who resemble the Lord by casting off all kinds of sin and evil and who are faithful in all God's house can enter this place. They must not have any blemish or spot or any evil. Also, because they love and believe in God, they are faithful in all God's house. It's a place for those who resemble the Lord and the Father. That is why houses there are all made with gold and jewels. For example, people like Moses, Abraham, Elijah, the Apostle Paul and Peter dwell in New Jerusalem. In case of the criminal in today's scripture, he accepted the Lord just before his death, so he did not have time to cast off sins or work for the Lord. He barely received the qualification to be saved, just like a newborn baby. Since he did not either sow anything or act with faith, he had no reward to receive in heaven. This kind of people will enter paradise, as Jesus said, and paradise is the lowest dwelling place in the kingdom of heaven. There are many levels between paradise and New Jerusalem, and according to the extent to which one's heart is sanctified and according to his faith and faithfulness, the dwelling place will be different. Why then is the kingdom of heaven divided like this? It is because it is right according to the justice. It is the justice of God to let us reap what we sow and to pay back according to what we have done. Also, the dwelling place in heaven will be decided according to what each one has done on this earth, according to how much we have cast off sins and resemble the image of the Holy Lord. The heavenly dwelling place will be decided. The glory of residents in each dwelling place is so different. The rewards, happiness, and authority will be different too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 41 to 42 says, "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body." It explains to us that at the time of resurrection of the dead after the coming of our Lord, each one's glory will all be different. God let me clearly know about various dwelling places in the heavenly kingdom and its life. Those contents are written in the books Heaven and Hell in detail, and these books have been translated and published in many languages. Those who would like to know more about the life in the kingdom of heaven can refer to these books. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you truly have faith, you should not think, "I can just be saved and lead an ordinary life," but you should long to enter into a better heavenly dwelling place. You should know that you must not lead a compromising Christian life. How can you receive a better dwelling place in heaven, and how can you avoid the fall into hell? You should know how not to live a life that leads to hell. God pays us back as we act and sow. This is justice. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." Here, to take it by force means we will gain the qualification to enter into better heavenly dwelling place to the extent that we struggle against sins and resemble the Lord. If you enter the heavenly kingdom with sins such as envy, jealousy, judging and condemning, hatred, betrayal, craftiness, greed, anger, and adulterous mind, what will the heavenly kingdom be like? The heavenly kingdom will be contaminated, and we will not be able to call it a holy and happy place. Just like this earth, people will hate one another, give hard time to one another, and live in sins. We cannot go into heavenly kingdom with sins. We can take only what we have cultivated with goodness and spirit. So those whose spiritual levels are similar will gather and live together. Even on this earth, it is happier for children to stay with children, young adults with young adults. It is happier to stay with friends of the same level. It's the same with level of education and etiquettes. It'll be difficult if these things are too different. If you get married, your education is all different. So you should learn the better thing from each other. Only then will husband and wife have peace and happiness. The adults would feel it is more joyful to talk with adults at similar levels. Likewise, even in heaven, people live together with those who are at the similar level of faith according to how much they resemble the Lord, so that they can be happier and more comfortable. Viewing audiences, Jesus told the criminal, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." This does not mean that Jesus will go to paradise. The dwelling place of the Lord in heaven is not paradise, but New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place. But the Lord is the master of the entire heavenly kingdom, and He dwells in the entire heaven. He dwells in every place, including paradise and New Jerusalem, and knows and rules everything about the kingdom of heaven. Also, today here does not mean that Jesus would go to paradise on the day of crucifixion itself. It means from that time on, the Lord would be with the criminal since the criminal was saved and became God's child by faith. The Lord always remembers us since the day we accept Him and are saved. He knows where we go, what we see, and what we do, and He prays for us. Also, He sends His angels to guard us and has them walk with us. So you should understand the concept of time in the Bible. Even if it says today, it is not always today. When the Bible says after several days, it can be 7 years or even 70 years. God's concept of time is different from ours. He feels one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. The concepts of time and space in the spiritual realm of God are different than ours. That is why when I receive God's words, there are such things that come out. It says after several weeks. But because I have been receiving God's word for 23 years, I know the meaning that it can be after several weeks or even several months. Then later, I see that the several weeks was actually several months. Then, on the day of Jesus' death on the cross on Friday, where did Jesus go? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, "So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "He also had descended into the lower parts of the earth." Also, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 says, "In which also He went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." After He died on the cross, Jesus went to not paradise but the prison to preach to them. Here, the spirits in prison refers to those souls who are eligible to be saved among those who died before Jesus took the cross and became the Savior. Please understand this part correctly. For us to be saved, we have to be forgiven of our sins by believing in Jesus Christ. Even though one may live in goodness in His sight, everybody is a sinner who is born with the original sin and commits sins violating the law. Only the precious blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sins and open the way of salvation. That is why in 1 John it says, if we truly believe in God, then we will live in the light, and in that way, the blood of the Lord will cleanse us from our sins. Then, does this mean that everyone who died before Jesus came to this earth was not saved but went to hell? Also, Does it mean that everybody who has never heard the gospel, even after Jesus came, has to go to hell? Of course not. God is the God of love and justice, and He wants everybody to reach salvation. Therefore, God prepared the way of salvation through Jesus Christ for those who lived before Jesus came to this earth, or those who have never heard the gospel. Among those who have never heard the gospel, there are some people who acknowledge the existence of God with their good heart and live in goodness. With their good conscience, they acknowledge the existence of heaven and hell, and although they did not hear the law of God, they live in goodness according to their conscience. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 to 15 says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them." Those with goodness in their heart will try to follow goodness because their conscience is good. That way, they will show the work of the law written in their hearts. Those who are evil will follow evil. Everybody has conscience, and those who are good follow the voice of their conscience, even though they do not know God. They try not to be stained with sins and try to live in goodness. People with good conscience like this do not worship meaningless idols or demons following their greed. Though vague, they acknowledge one Creator God and follow the duty of man. If this kind of people heard the gospel, they would definitely accept Jesus Christ. On the contrary, even though one may look very good on the outside, if they do not believe, even after hearing the gospel, it means their conscience is evil and will not be saved. Men do not know the conscience of other people, but the Almighty God knows all the mind and deeds of men. Therefore, God can distinguish those who would have believed if they heard the gospel among those who lived before Jesus came. This is the judgment of conscience. God made the souls who can be saved by the judgment of conscience rest in the upper grave until Jesus became the Savior. Those souls of the Old Testament days who were saved by living by the Word were staying in the upper grave. In Luke chapter 16, there is a parable of the rich man and beggar Lazarus. The rich man, who did not live by the Word of God, came to suffer from the fire of hell, but Lazarus, who feared God, could rest at the bosom of Abraham. Since it was before Jesus became the Savior, people were not at the bosom of the Lord before they entered the kingdom of heaven, but at the bosom of Abraham, the forefather of faith. Because our Lord had not become the Savior yet, those people could not go to the paradise of heaven directly, but were waiting in the upper grave until the Lord took the cross. The place where the rich man was suffering was the Hades, and the place where Lazarus was resting was upper grave. The Bible says that in between the upper grave and Hades, there is a big chasm. Nobody can move between them. The Hades is a part of hell that belongs to darkness. On the contrary, the upper grave belongs to light, like the kingdom of heaven. After Jesus died on the cross, He went to the spirits in prison, namely those who were in the upper grave. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." As said, He had to preach Jesus Christ, the way of salvation for them. In the beginning of the message of the cross, you already heard why we are saved only through the name of Jesus. You know that only Jesus is qualified to become the Savior. Those who were to receive salvation in the precious name and blood of the Lord, who died before His resurrection, were kept in the upper grave because everybody who is saved is only saved when their sins are washed through Jesus' blood. Abraham is the head there, and God let those people rest at the side of Abraham. Then the Lord went to the souls in prison and preached that He is the Savior. Because those souls were good people who could be saved, all of them heard the gospel and accepted the Lord at that moment. Some people will not accept the gospel even when preached to them for 1, 2, or even 3 years. There are also people who will not believe even after witnessing many of the signs, wonders, and powerful works of God. Then how can these people accept the Lord within such a short period of time? While they were in the prison, namely the upper grave, these people already had heard the gospel through the prophets and Jesus' disciples. The prophets here included those of the Old Testament, such as Abraham and Moses, and also through Jesus' disciples and others who had actually been witness to Jesus and were able to testify to the cross. So they already knew these things. That's why when the Lord came to them, they all accepted so readily. At this time, the spirits who were in the upper grave accepted Jesus as the Savior, were forgiven of their sins, and were saved. Viewing audiences, let me conclude the message. I talked about the first and second word among the last seven words on the cross. First, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In this prayer is contained not only Jesus' forgiveness and love for those who were crucifying Him, but also His love for all mankind who do not believe in Him. Secondly, Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." This is the promise of salvation to the criminal who repented and accepted the Lord, and a promise of hope about His dwelling place in heavenly kingdom. Even at the moment of His death on the cross, Jesus wanted to save us and lead us to the heavenly kingdom. Even now, the Lord is preparing our dwelling places, and the angels, under the instruction of the Lord, are building our houses in heaven in which we will dwell. Our Lord acts as the general manager who directly supervises the building of our homes in the heavenly kingdom. I hope you will more deeply realize the love of the Lord, who gave even His life for us and always wants to give us good things. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will take hold of better dwelling place of heavenly kingdom every day. I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe, and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer. age, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones, and make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened, darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration, and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.